take off your jacket, because it's time to get deep under the covers with a loose read.
Hi, welcome to BFM, Jenna.
just another Monday morning.
Another watertight, ship-shaped BFM breakfast show there with no loose ends. But loose reads.
Loose reads.
See what I did then? Yeah,
got it. Still got it.
So I've had a bit of a true crime weekend. I listened to the whole podcast of that Gone Fishing.
Now, what's that all about? I got sent some bothering thing about that. And it bothered me to the point where I didn't give a toss.
It's RNZ and Stuff co-production of a story of a woman who went to prison for 15 years. She's out now.
Is it a woman?
Her involvement in a murder.
New Zealand.
All in like Blockhouse Bay, Kingsland area.
So Crime Central.
Crime Central, an 80s murder. Yeah, it was really good, very compelling. I couldn't stop listening. But I'm actually here to review
it. I guess it's exciting that you're one of the people who knew someone who got murdered in the 80s. Because terrible, isn't it?
Or did they?
Okay, all right. Good sell.
But I'm actually doing a book today. It's called I'll Be Gone in the Dark. This is by Michelle McNamara.
I'll Be Gone in the Dark.
And so Michelle McNamara was a freelance writer and crime blogger, and she got completely obsessed with this murder case of a serial killer, and she renamed it the Golden State Killer. Have you heard of this?
Like the Golden State Killer, the guy that just got caught.
Exactly. So, so this book came out in February, and she looks at In the late 70s, 50 women were assaulted across 7 counties in Northern California, and they were called the East Area Rapist. And then, and also around that time in the mid-70s, in Southern California, 10 people were murdered by a person that they called the Original Night Stalker. So there was different police departments in different counties looking at these cases. And it wasn't until the 90s, and these were awful, calculated, the most darkest attacks that you could have, and he would stalk them and then call them like 5 years later saying, "I'm still watching you."
Oh,
and it was just this really, really scary thing.
Is this the sort of stuff you're into? Yeah.
Yeah. And then in the early 90s, when DNA matching started being more prevalent, they matched the person to all of these crimes. So it's all the same person.
So it was 50 or something.
50 rapes, like really violent rapes, and then 10 really dark murders.
So far. Like
that they know of. It's a super complex case, and what goes so much beyond this, because along the way, different people confessed to different murders when they didn't actually do them, and they got confused with other serial killers and stuff.
Wow.
So Michelle McNamara got so obsessed with this, and she just wrote a book about it, and she just lays it all out. But the thing that she did was she renamed him the Golden State Killer, and there was lots of internet sort of investigation, like armchair detective stuff going on, and she got super involved with that, but then also started interviewing detectives, victims, and lots of people who are involved in the case. So
do we find out sort of what it is about the case in particular that hooked her, you know? I guess, you know, is it just her journalistic sort of...
She has a really amazing true crime writing style. She kind of ties in, she makes it quite personal and ties in her own life, and really kind of, you know, I don't really like reading about the really grisly stuff that went on, but she like looks at the victims, like what happened beforehand, in quite a personal and relatable way, and it just makes it seem more horrible, I guess.
Because that's really interesting, because oftentimes when you read that, it's sort of like you first thing you hear about a person is, or the victim, is when they find out that they're gone, or that they've been attacked, or that there's, you know, when you find out about the crime itself. But when you learn a little bit about them and what their whole, you know, like say the day before, or their sort of the build up to it happening, it suddenly gets a lot more relatable to, you know, well, that was a person, that's someone just going about their day, and then out of nowhere, bosh, you know.
Humanizing and relating it to the reader and how to show how scary it would be for it to happen to you. So I mean, lots of people like to read this stuff, though. Like, lots of people love true
crime. There's lots of, I mean, you're not alone just being obsessed by that sort of thing.
Yeah, so, and she just wanted to find the killer because, you know, doing all of this, knowing that he's never been killed, the crime's kind of stopped. Him being caught. Yeah. The crime stopped in the 80s, and it's like, why did it stop? Yeah. Did he get caught for something else?
Yeah.
And so they've looked at, like, 8,000 different suspects for this. So this book came out in February. Michelle McNamara, she died 2 years ago. She died in her sleep. And essentially this case pretty much killed her. She couldn't sleep and she was taking quite a cocktail of like Xanax and stuff. But she had an undiagnosed clotting condition. So she ended up dying before the guy was caught in April. So
did the book have anything to do with her with him being caught? I guess putting the pressure on all the detectives and stuff like that. And
it brings it to light again. And also, she worked really closely with one of the main criminologists on this. So he said it was quite strange and unusual that a detective criminologist and a citizen were working on this together, so they would share information. And the reason that he actually got caught was because they had his DNA, and they did something that was, I think, a little bit ethically blurry, but they put the DNA in one of those ancestry websites. And then so the family, a third cousin, got in touch and they managed to trace it through them.
We've been talking about these ancestry tests a lot lately. And I don't know about them.
Well, find that murderer.
There you go.
Wow, that's mental, isn't it?
So it's quite mental. So I really love this book, and so many of the staff at Time Out have really, really loved this book. We've been really into it. And then you can just get into this huge, deep YouTube hole afterwards, because there's great interviews with Paul Holes, the detective that worked with Michelle McNamara, about now that they have the information, because this guy wasn't even on their books at all. He was an ex-cop, and he's lived in the same house that he's lived in the whole time. Had three kids, just like a family man, but like a true psychotic
killer.
Murderer. Yeah.
Did they find out why he stopped, or if there's a whole bunch of crimes that have gone
I think they're still trying to figure out why he did, and hopefully they'll interview him. So he's been charged, and they said it was really interesting because they followed him for a week, and he was like on motorbikes. He's 72 now, on motorbikes, really active around his house and stuff. And then as soon as he's in court, he's like in a wheelchair, like really frail.
That old doozy.
Yeah, so it's quite an amazing story, and it spanned 45 years.
Yeah.
And now it's concluded. So it's quite nice. I think some people could think like, oh, I could just watch all this on YouTube. Now I know that the guy's caught. I don't need to read this book. But I think it like really lays out the build up to him being caught and it coming up in
the
media again.
So does the book talk about him being caught? He was caught after the book
He was caught out. After the book came out. So I'm sure there's going to be more books to come about what happened. And you just wish that she was alive to see him being caught. Because she always said, I don't care who catches him as long as he's caught.
So I just noticed on the front page, on the cover there, it says Introduction with Patton Oswalt. Was it his wife?
Yeah, it was his wife.
Who died? Yeah, she died, eh? Yeah. Oh my God, wow.
So it all connects together. I didn't want to describe her as a, you know, famous person's wife, but
I've seen his stand-up since that, and he's obviously dealt with that, been dealing with a horrible situation. But it was really beautiful the way he sort of talked about it.
A really great interview with him on a talk. I think it was like Jimmy Kimmel or something. He was coming on to talk about a show that he was on the day that the Golden State Killer was killed, and that's quite an energizing.
It was caught.
Oh, caught. Yeah, sorry, I keep saying killed. There's so much death in this that. Yeah. So great. If you're into like really grisly, you know, Swedish crime dramas where lots of people die or like that kind of stuff, but then you want to transfer that into true crime, this is like going to be a true crime classic, like Truman Capote type. And cold blood stuff. Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. So loved it. I've been reading that all weekend, and I was at home by myself on Saturday night reading it. It felt a little bit eerie. Yeah. But I'm glad that he's caught. So,
hey, Jenna, so the book is called I'll Be Gone in the Dark.
I'll Be Gone in the Dark. It's $33, published by Faber and Faber, and you can come down to Time Out and get it. And if you bring your B card, you'll get 10% off.
So, President B card bonus!
That was Loose Reads.